Genesis chapter 1. Couples retreat is just around the corner. I hope if you can make it that you go. In honor of that, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about marriage. The world knows nothing about marriage and family, to be real honest with you. They just don't. It's actually looked down upon in our society now. It used to be that was the highest calling. You're going to get married and have a family. I read a couple articles. I read one. My daughter saw it at the dentist's office and took a picture of it and sent it to my iPad, but it was about the childless families, how couples now are choosing purposely not to have children because children interfere with their life. They keep them, and they had all these successful business people, and you know, we don't want to have children, and if I want to get up and go for the weekend, I can get up and go for the weekend, and blah, 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 blah. Just nothing but selfishness and nonsense. And by the way, I will say this, children are a colossal hassle. When you have them, they look funny, they smell funny, they stuff comes out of them that's just off the wall. It's not good. Why did I have so many? That was retarded. But they are a blessing, okay? Some of them. The others aren't. I want to, before we talk about that in Genesis chapter 1, I want to read an article. Prototypical of the concept which our society faces. Someone told me about it this morning, and I already knew what I was speaking on. And this isn't from an unsaved individual, but the title of the article was Marriage Isn't For You. Here's what he says. Having been married only a year and a half, I recently came to the conclusion that marriage isn't for me. Now, before you start making assumptions, keep reading. I met my wife in high school when we were 15 years old. We were friends for 10 years until we decided we no longer wanted to be just friends. I strongly recommend that best friends fall in love. Good times will be had by all. Nevertheless, falling in love with my best friend did not prevent me from having certain fears and anxieties about getting married. The nearer Kim and I approached the decision to marry, the more I was filled with a paralyzing fear. Was I ready? Was I making the right choice? Was Kim the right person to marry? Would she make me happy? Then one fateful night, I shared these thoughts and concerns with my dad. Perhaps each of us have moments in our lives when it feels like time slows down or the air becomes still and everything around us seems to draw in, marking that moment as one we will never forget. My dad giving his response to my concerns was such a moment for me. With a knowing smile, he said, "Seth, you're being totally selfish. So I'm going to make this really simple. Marriage isn't for you. You don't marry to make yourself happy. You marry to make someone else happy. More than that, your marriage isn't for yourself. You're marrying for a family. Not just for the in-laws and all of that nonsense, but for your future children. Who do you want to help? Who do you want to help you raise them? Who do you want to influence them? Marriage isn't for you. It's not about you. Marriage is about the person you married." It was in that moment that I knew that Kim was the right person to marry. I realized I wanted to make her happy, to see her smile every day, to make her laugh every day. I wanted to be part of her family, and my family wanted her to be a part of ours. And thinking back on all the times I've seen her play with my nieces, I knew that she was the one with whom I wanted to build our own family. My father's advice was both shocking and revolutionary. It went against the grain of today's Walmart philosophy, which is, if it doesn't make you happy, you can take it back and get a new one. Now, the Bible speaks very clearly about that. That's the problem with our society, okay? Marriage is not a selfish endeavor. But by the way, our society, it is a selfish endeavor, and that's why most of them don't last. The second a hard time comes, the second that my needs aren't being met and all that other garbage, we bail out. But if we only realize that marriage is for more than that, maybe they would last more than the average is what, 7 years? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 20 to 28, we'll read. Genesis chapter 1. We'll go quickly here. I know we have the Sunday school meetings. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So man, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the word of God, the principles it teaches, and the path it shows us. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us tonight as we speak about this subject of marriage and closeness. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. These verses are the general creation of man. God creates everything, and then he creates man and woman. He puts them together. By the way, that was what you would call not a forced marriage, but an arranged marriage, okay? God arranged it. He looked around. There was one other woman. That was it. Arranged marriage. And that one turned out nicely, all right? So if God arranges your marriage, I guess it would work nicely. So God puts them together, tells them to be fruitful, multiply, have a family. Now, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, he gives a little more in-depth picture of what really happened here. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Okay, now I know a lot of guys that beg to differ on that, but they're wrong. It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. By the way, that doesn't mean slave. I've checked. I was hoping it did. I looked deep as I could. It doesn't mean that, so sorry about that. Help me for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. So he named everything. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. The animals were all paired off. There was nobody for Adam. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought here unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Here God talks about creating the first woman, giving her unto the man, and kind of gives us some of the purposes of marriage, which we're not looking at. Some of the things we see in this story is, of course, isolation. Adam was by himself. When God saw that Adam was by himself, God said, that's not good. Someone has said women could live fine by themselves, men can't, okay? And I guess that's true. One of my brother-in-laws was saying that when he was single, he lived in this house with all these single guys, and they didn't do the dishes very often. And so when someone finally would break down the dishes, they would mark the wall to see how high they would stack them to see if next time they could break their record, all right? And now if your wife does that, you have some things you need to work through. But it's not good for the man to be alone. Isolation. He also talked about consolidation, so bringing the two together and forming one, okay? The closeness of the marriage relationship. Not just talking about the physical aspect, it's talking about every aspect. They need to be one in everything. There needs to be unity. They need to become one. And then he talks about the formulation. You leave your father and mother and you cleave into your wife, okay? That's the new family unit. By the way, don't be meddling in-laws and all this meddling outlaw. That's the new family unit. And so this was God's idea. This is not man's idea. Man's idea is a man with a man or a woman with a woman or somebody who doesn't quite know what gender they are, with whoever. It's just all kinds of crazy nonsense. God's idea was, man, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. I'm going to create a woman. They'll get married, the first family, and they'll have children. So God created man so we could have a relationship with him. And then he created Eve for Adam so that there can be relationships with the spouse. And then he told them to be fruitful and multiply so there would be relationship with the children. Now, when you talk about families, it all boils down to this. It starts and ends with the husband and the wife. That's the key relationship. That relationship is there before the children, and that relationship will be there long after the children are out of the house, if they ever do move out of the house. Now, let's go through the progression about how a marriage, and I'm generalizing here, not all of them are the same. Here's a guy. He meets this girl, or he sees this girl. She catches his attention. By the way, most of the time, you choose a spouse by the wrong parameters, okay? Size, shape, and weight, and all that, and that's the parameters. If those were the right parameters for a marriage, probably every Hollywood actress would be married to her husband forever, but that's not the truth, okay? There's a lot more to it than that. But that's usually where it starts. Like, oh, hey, she caught my eye. He caught my eye. So you get to meet them. You start going out. You start courting. As it gets a little more serious, it turns into a little more of a serious relationship, maybe what we would call a boyfriend-girlfriend type relationship, and all is well. Then you're around each other a lot, and the love starts to kick in. And then you see this courting relationship, and you say, I want this to be a closer relationship. I want it to be a permanent relationship. I want to see them every day. I want to be with them every day. And so they get engaged because they can't wait, and hopefully they do. And then after the engagement process, they get to the marriage altar, and they get married, and now it's honeymoonsville, and all is well. And if you listen to the lie of Cinderella, everybody lives happily ever after. By the way, I don't know if you know this, Cinderella got divorced. Okay, Cinderella didn't. Barbie did, though. You can buy a divorced Barbie doll. Did you know that? When you buy the doll, it comes with Ken's truck, Ken's house, Ken's paycheck, all that stuff. Thanks for coming. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. Happily, ever, after. You see, you enjoyed that boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And now that you're married, you want that to continue forever, just in a closer way. Now, let's fast forward to the present. We still want that. And there are times, hopefully a lot of times in your marriage relationship, if you're married, that you do have that. And as you look, you don't have the same kind of relationship like you did those first 6 months, that honeymoon type deal, okay? But your love is deeper now. So your love usually is not in question in a relationship, marriage relationship. But if you're not careful, there are things that come into the relationship now that you're married, and those things can eat away at that closeness. They're not bad things. It's just the everyday things of life that come into that relationship that were not present when you were courting. And if you're not careful, those destroy or start to eat at the foundation of that marriage relationship. These things you have to fight. These things that, by the way, these are in all the relationships pretty much. It's in my relationship, it's in your relationship, it's there. But you got to fight it. So what are these things that would cause some issues? To kill that boyfriend, girlfriend, married forever type Cinderella feeling. The first one is this, familiarity. You see, what happened is you used to see each other, and then you would go home and she would go home. And it's like, I can't wait to see him again. Why? Because you're home. She's not there. Now you get married, and as soon as you say I do and you guys leave for the honeymoon, don't take this in a bad way, she's there for good. Now when you go home, she's going there too. Now you're going to start seeing the things about them you didn't notice before, because whenever you saw them, they were topside. And now you're familiar with them. Everything before was like, oh, wow. It's like, been there, done that. And if you're not careful, that familiarity starts to eat away at that relationship. We say things. We know their weaknesses. Now, you probably caught their weaknesses when you were courting, but you didn't see all of them. And so what happens in that relationship, if there's a, and I know this isn't, you know, you're, these are other people from other church have these problems, you know, a disagreement in the marriage, they know that one little spot to jab, right? What does Proverbs say? There is like the piercings of a sword. It's like, we call it the hot button. It's like that one thing that really just gets to them. How do we know that? It's familiarity. We see flaws. By the way, you have flaws too. You just don't look at yours very enough. Yeah, I'm perfect. He's not. Yeah, okay. No, thank you. So, like it says, here's what happens because of that. It's like it says in Revelation with Christianity. We leave our first love. Now, if you did not grow up as a Christian and you got saved a little later on in life, you really get that whole concept of first love. You know what I'm saying? The Bible was fresh. It was new. This whole Christianity thing was great. Everything was new. And wow, everything's for the first, you know, you read the Bible and it's like the book of Hosea. I didn't even know there was a Hosea. Man. And you read that story and like, that's good. First love. But you know what happens? You've read it over and over and over. So you leave that first love. That happens with your spouse. There was a time you used to open the door for her. Now it's like, hurry, I'm waiting. Used to be, if she went to the grocery store and you were home and you're sitting on the couch and she came in, the first thing you did is you hopped up and ran out there and got the groceries. Now she comes in, it's like, hey, when you're done, make sure you close the door. Okay? Familiarity. By the way, when you start having children, there is a good sign. Hey, go get the groceries for your mom. Okay? Here's the key. Why don't we just treat each other the way we used to when we were courting? By the way, we say this over and over, and I know a lot of you don't do it. And you, if you're married, you should have a date night. No. It's not like this. Not like, okay, I'll ask my wife if she's okay with me taking this girl out. No, that's what we're talking about. Not that kind of date night. We're talking about date night, you actually take her out. Okay? My wife and I went out last night. We usually go, it's Wednesdays now. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't see her. She might be on the path. There are times, I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. And, you know, I have to catch myself because there's times it's like, you know, where do you want to go? I'm going to pick a restaurant that's quick. You know what I'm saying? We went to this new place by our house. Darlene told us about Market Grill. Man, the food was great, but it was quick. But it's like, that kind of defeats the purpose of date night. By the way, date night isn't, sure, hon, what do you want to talk about? Dodgers lost? Man, did you say something? You know, I come home sometimes and all the kids and the married kids are there. They're all sitting there on their phones. And I'm like, hey, wait right there. I'll go get my phone and I'll join you. Have a date night. You used to do nice things for each other. Still do. You used to dress nice for each other. Now you go out and it looks like you just took the trash out and you fell in. Look it. It's not a sin to smell good. By the way, what happens sometimes in a marriage, the lady dresses up really nice and spiffy to go to work. And then when she comes home, it's like, who are you? All right, let's move on. Familiarity. Work at treating each other the way that you did when you were courting, even though you don't want to. All right. Here's another thing that'll kill it. Family. You say, I thought family was a good word. Someone gave us a little sign. I think it's still on the piano. It says, you call it family, I call it chaos. That's how it is at our house. There's always something going on. There's always people there. And that's fine. We like that. That's how we kind of just, this is who we are. But, you know, if you're not careful, family can interfere. By the way, watch out for in-laws. Now, I'm fortunate. I love my mother-in-law, and I love my father-in-law to death, and they live 1,200 miles away. But by the way, I'll say this. If they lived here, we'd get along fine. And my mom and my wife was so kind. My mom took my wife's side no matter what. If you ever do anything, it's her, not you. Like, what's that all about? I'm your son. Okay? But be careful. See, in-laws sometimes have a way of slipping in to the equation. Don't let them. Like, hey, listen, let me explain something. That's my wife, or that's my husband. This is our family. We love you, but I side with them. Okay? And they're meet, by the way, it could be brothers-in-law or sisters-in-law, and just be very, very careful. Here's one. Another part of your family that'll really kill your relationship is the children. Those little things are so cute. But you know what? They don't need to sleep with you. Now, our kids sometimes would sleep with us. Okay? Jack still does. Looks like, by the way, where's Waldo? He's right there. You know, I remember when we had Jessica, I didn't want her sleeping with us. We just moved to Florida, and really, we were struggling financially. I told the kids in college days, so it's like, we didn't have a crib for her, so I got a cardboard box. I got a pillow. I put a pillow in the box, and I got one of her receiving blankets someone gave us, and I made it look really nice. You couldn't tell it was a box. And man, you could chuck her in there, bounce her off the wall, and she'd land right, hey. Okay? But you know, children are only going to interfere if you parents let them interfere. And it's not even an accident. You know, you have to understand, mommy and daddy are the most important relationship. And by the way, that makes the children secure. The children are secure when they know mom and dad have a good relationship. So don't use the children as an excuse. Okay? Don't let them sleep in your room all the time. I know sometimes you're naturally feeding them and it's the middle of the night. Okay, that's fine. Just, you know, don't squish them or drop them off the bed or whatever. But you know, that they shouldn't be in there all the time. Children, but family. Here's another killer. Finances. Now, you'd have to deal with finances when you were courting. The guy usually paid for everything. Here, dear, let me handle that. Now you get home. And your finances are combined. Let me say that one more time. Now you get married, and your finances are combined together. Why? Because you're one. Okay? Not like her money, my money, and we all both pitch in for the bills. No, all the bills are yours. Okay? And if you're not careful, the pressure of finances gets to you. You know? It's... There is treasure, Proverbs 21:20 says. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Foolish man just uses everything they have and they never have anything. They're always behind. And when that pressure is on you, look, it's hard to be romantic when you've got bills that aren't being paid. You don't look at your wife, you see a bounced check walking down the hallway. You see a credit card statement. It's like, I'd like to say you're beautiful, but I see numbers and they all are red. You look good in red because you've sunk every one of our accounts into the red. So you have to fight that, okay? Work together. By the way, make sure you tithe. You don't want God's curse on your family. Learn to be generous together. Learn that, hey, we give. We're generous. But we got to work on it. One of you is probably better with the money. That's the person that ought to do the finances, okay? And then work together on it. Now, have a budget, live within your means. You say, what are these things doing? These things are helping you have a good relationship. So you're not arguing about money because that's taken care of. We can just be romantic and the bills are paid. And some of you are going to have candlelight dinner because that's the only light you're going to have in the house. Okay, the electric bill is not paid, so candlelight is not... Oh, you want to be romantic? No, we have nothing going on here. Now, now men and women both kill their budget, but they do it differently. You see, what you women do is you take your financial boat and you start poking holes in it and you got these slow leaks. Here's what we call it. Here's how you justify it. Ready? It was on sale. You know, but we already have four of those and we didn't need it. But I saved $20. It was on sale. But we don't need it. But I saved $20. I could have saved $40. Don't buy it at all. Okay, are you with me? Get the receipt. Take it back. So you poke little holes in the thing. Now, men, we're different. We don't buy a bunch of stuff, but when we do, it's huge. We torpedo that boat. We blow it up in one shot. All right? But we need to be careful. We don't want to argue over finances. We want to make sure that we have the finances and we're working together on it. You say, well, I don't have to, but if you buy something of a significant nature, it should be discussed between husband and wife. I can go buy whatever I want. In the nursery? I would never do that. I'll ask my wife, hey, I'm thinking of getting, you know, we have the money. I just want her to be in on it. Okay, and by the way, the one reason is because she's real generous. She'll let me get whatever I want. Do you let her get what she wants? Number four, fatigue. You get tired. By the way, you have to fight that. Don't be doing so many things that are outside of the family. Now, you do need to be outside of the family, but don't be doing so much that you have no energy for your family. Now, by the way, you do need to cut each other some slack in life. We looked at several weeks ago on Sunday morning, we talked about Elijah, and he got his depression, but part of it was caused because he was just tired, okay? So watch out for each other. But when you're tired, you'll argue more, okay? How many ever come home and you've been a little crud, and it's like, man, because I'm tired. You ever been there? It's like, man, if you're tired, and another thing is hungry. So I don't want to kiss, I don't want to hug, I don't anything. Just put food on the table, and then we'll talk, okay? Get away from the table. Nobody gets hurt. Okay? And then once you're done eating, it's like, I feel good. How was your day? Now, you already blew it because you were a knucklehead before food was there. But fatigue, we get tired. Friends is another one. Let me say this. If you're married, you shouldn't be hanging around with a bunch of singles because they're not married. They have different needs. They're in a whole different stratosphere. And you start looking at that thing, and it's like, you don't do it. You have a family. Get home. Okay? Well, I need friends. Your wife can be your friend. Your children can be your friend. And you can have friends. I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends, but I'm saying you don't need to always be hanging out with people. A bunch of singles all the time. Oh, no, you're married. Grow up. See, that's part of the problem in our society. We don't want to grow up anymore. Okay, we all want to act like we're single forever. You're not single. You're married. You have children. You have a responsibility. You have a wife. Get home to her. You have a husband. Get home to him. Hanging around with your friends? Well, I just have all my friends. Well, goody for that. I'm glad you have friends. But you put your friends in front of your family. Here's another thing that causes trouble. They all have to start with F, firm. What do I mean by firm? Your job, where you work. Okay? Well, I'm going to work all these extra hours so I can get all this money and I can provide extra things for my family. They'd rather have you at home, believe it or not. Now, if your wife says she doesn't want you at home, she'd rather you work overtime, you have some issues. You might want to go to the couples retreat, okay? You might want to bring some flowers home every now and then. But your work. And by the way, I don't care what type of work it is. Your work should never come before your family, ever. If I ever felt, and I mean this very sincerely, I'm not just throwing smoke. If I ever felt working at a church interfered with my family, I would quit in a heartbeat. It wouldn't even bother me. It wouldn't even be an issue. Like, I'm done. I don't care. Because that's my priority. And if I felt it'd be my problem, but if I felt I was not doing it right, I don't want that to come between my family. And so your work. Now, I know you have to work, and there are seasons of times where you work more than others, but you know what I'm talking about. Some people just, they're so out there in their family. Where are you at? No one ever sits on their deathbed and says, you know, I wish I spent more time at the office. What do they usually say? I wish I'd been more time with my family, my kids, my spouse. Don't have that regret. Okay? Balance it out. Yes, work, but make sure that that doesn't come between you. I'm hastening because we have meetings tonight. The next thing is this, and this is a weird, this one you say, well, it's faith. Do you know faith can divide a couple? How does that happen? Well, first of all, you though are single, you marry someone who's either not saved or not spiritual. Now you're going to have major problems. You see, because you're going to have, if you're saved, you're going to have the Spirit of God, you're going to want to serve God, and they're not going to care. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm going to help them. You see, I'll marry them, and then I'm going to help them come along in their Christian life. That works never. Once, maybe one out of a million, maybe one out of 100,000. And that's usually somebody that they were already married before either of them got saved. But I'm telling you, you're treading dangerous water. See, what you don't understand is, if the marriage is going to make it, you have to be of like mind. Oh, but you should see her in that red dress. She is a knockout. Yeah, she'll be knocking you out. She is hot. No, she'll be on fire. And you have totally different philosophies on raising children. And that'll bother you. You should have figured that out ahead of time. Different philosophies on all kinds of things in life. And it's going to irritate you. Why don't you just get somebody who loves God like you love God? It's going the same direction like you're going the same direction. And then that unifies you. As you're both getting closer to God, you are going to get closer to each other. But you better be very, very careful. Now, if you're in a situation, well, you know, I got saved later on in life and my spouse is not that spiritual, guess what? God can work with you on that. You'd be a good Christian. You'd be a good Christian. Sometimes what we do in cases like that, sometimes even the kids whose parents don't come to church is like, I'm being persecuted for my faith. You know, I'm standing for God. We had a teenager in a youth group one time when I was a youth director. And, you know, my parents, they don't want me to teach Sunday school anymore. They're getting on me all the time. I don't even think they want me to come to church here. I'm like, oh, you poor child. I'm going to call your dad. So I talked to the dad. I said, hey, how's it going? What's the deal here? He said, you know, I have no problem with the church. He goes, but that is the laziest, most disrespectful kid. And going to church, they go to church and do one thing, and they come home, and they don't act at all like a Christian. I said, thanks, I'll help you with that. I pulled the kid and said, it's a you problem. You are driving your parents away. Okay? So faith, going the same direction. But if you have that situation, hey, be a good testimony. Love them. They're your spouse. Don't have this thing in the back of your mind. I know you wouldn't, but there are, I think maybe this won't work out, and then God will give me another one. No, he won't. Now, number 8, follow-up. I'm going to give you some follow-up advice. Okay? I'll give you, a couple things, and we're done. Letter A, treat each other like you were when you were courting. Say, do you always open the door for your wife? No, I forget sometimes, and she forgets sometimes. But I try. I mean, we're driving down the road, and I open the door. She never gets out, though. I've tried. All right, that's not what I'm talking about, really. Okay. Do you used to do nice things for her? Hey, why don't you shock her every now and then and do nice things for her? Now, my wife's a little different. She really doesn't like stuff like that. And I'll try it sometimes. Stop. Okay, that's okay, fine. I used to buy her jewelry. I don't like jewelry. I'm like, seriously? Oh, and I go, yes. That stuff's expensive. Are you kidding me? Man. But, think of some ways sometimes. How can I do something nice for them? You used to do that. I remember I borrowed Brother Ross's car when he was engaged to Somali. Back when she could have made the proper decision, but she didn't. And I borrow his car to go somewhere, and it's like it's a shrine to Somali. He had this little thing with a little piece of rice on it, I think, that had her name on it. He had her picture everywhere. I mean, I was considering dating her. Like, she was everywhere in there. And I'm like, it bothered me. I was like, man, he is not going to love her more than I love my wife. Now he does, but hey, what are you going to do? But it's like, man, so we lose that. Let's purposely try to treat them. What are some things that you did when you were courting that you could still do? Next, make sure you have time alone together. Time alone. Find times to get away. It doesn't have to be a thing. Regularly, just find times. Okay? It doesn't have to be a scheduled date night. Sometimes my wife will just like, I have to go to the store. And I'm around, I'll go with you. Why? Do I want to go to the store with her? That depends on where she's going. If it's going somewhere I can get something, yeah, because she's generous. Sometimes it's like, you know, Costco. Now you go to Costco. I'll go to Costco with you because the hot dogs there are really good, by the way. $1.50, you can't beat that. So I go to Costco, and it's like, I already know the routine. It's like, now I only have to get a couple things. I'm like, really? Just a couple, right? It's like, all right, that's fine. Why don't we have a shopping cart? And then by the time we're done, the shopping cart is full. And it's like, it's a joke. It's like, I know, one more thing. I get it, one more thing. It's like, you know, whatever. But I don't go because I like going to Costco, although if I go during the time when they have all the samples, that's pretty good too. But I like to go because I'll go with her, okay? We do things like, we started something years ago. Every summer I'll find a day where I just take a day off and we spend the day together. We'll go out the night before, stay out somewhere away from the brats, and then we'll have the whole day together. But you have to find those times, okay? Find it, work at it. You worked at it before when you wanted to see her when you were recording, okay? So why don't you work at it now? C, have a weekly date night. There is no excuse not to. But I have a baby. Find a babysitter, okay? Duct tape, I don't know, do something. That's important. Now, you couldn't wait to date her before you were married. You know, you couldn't wait. You wanted the whole package before you were married, and then you get married, and it's like, you don't even grunt at each other. We'll joke around. We're in the car sometimes. You know, sometimes you're at a light, and there's a young couple next door in the car, they're making out. I'll tell my wife, a good dose of marriage will kill that right there. Okay, I'm kidding. But that's usually what happens, right? Right? Before they get married, you can't keep them away from each other. Once they get married, you can't get them to go anywhere near each other. We've got something wrong here. But you should have a weekly date night. And it's good if it's scheduled, because there are times I don't want to go. Well, it's like, are we going out tonight? It's like, I was hoping she wouldn't ask. It's like, yeah, can't wait. I've been looking forward all day, hoping that you would forget, you know. Sometimes I might text her, hey, we're going out tonight, right? Yes. Okay, that's fine. And there's other times I'm sure she doesn't want to go out. Let's go out. You want to go out? Well, let's just go. Because I don't like Jessica's cooking. And then, as we mentioned, get alone together without the children. The children don't have to go everywhere. They don't. They don't. They don't. You know, mom and dad are going away, and you ain't coming. Oh, you don't love us? No, we don't. Yes, we love you, but we love each other more. And you should be happy about that. That means you'll never have to decide which one you're going to live with. Okay? And by the way, usually, ladies, it's you. You get so attached to that little thing. And by the way, I love kids. I love them all. When they're little, it's like, oh man, they're so cute. But you know what? You need to, don't, ladies. Oh, you know, we just got to bring little. They may cry. You know, let them cry. It kills me. We have a daycare, and they'll bring their baby. Like, you know, I have to come 15 minutes early so I can sit here with the baby until they stop crying. Hey, open the door, chuck the kid in, close the door, and get in the car. As soon as you leave, they quit crying anyhow. Seriously, when they leave, I throw a cookie at them. They're quiet. It's like, there is nothing that a cookie cannot solve. I'm telling you, the daycare kids, I'm not there very often, but they like me. Because if I'm there, it's like, hey, you want a cookie? All right, Miss Alma's not looking. Here, here's a cookie. Get away together without the children. Next, learn more about marriage. I don't mean call a divorce lawyer. Hey, can you help me with this? No, I'm not talking about that. Learn. Just spend time learning. Read things about it. Study about it. Okay? How would you like to, I'm going to have surgery. Okay. So when's the last time you got any training? And the surgeon goes, that's about 40 years ago. Back when anesthesia was hitting people over the head with a hammer. You know, and they go, that's good. All right, they're out. Let's start. You know, we used a saw. Okay. How many of you want somebody that never got any formal training for 40 years, but they're going to open you up? How many of you would be comfortable with that? And yet, this relationship we have is the most important thing in the world, and we won't learn about it? We can't work on it? You say, I don't need to work on it. I got it. Well, let's ask her. She'll be honest. Work on it. And then the last thing is this. I don't know what Brother Pineda said this. Come to couples retreat. Okay? I'm kidding, but if you had an opportunity to come and you could afford it, it'd be good for you to go. I know some of you can't get off work and stuff, but those type of things, you need to get away. Okay? Get the kids, get a babysitter, get somebody, and then get away. And it's just you and her and romantic fireplace, and it's freezing cold and whatever it is. And hey, you need that time alone. That's the key relationship. By the way, you wanted to get away with each other when you first got married. Why don't you want to get away with each other now? The fact of the matter, if my wife doesn't care, then that's a bad sign. My husband doesn't, he's fine. That's not good. Okay? And by the way, guys like, oh, man, I don't want to go away. Ladies, close your ears. Fake it. Baby, I can't wait to go. Lie. That's not lying. That's poetic license. Okay? No, but you need to get away together. I'm just saying marriage, like anything else, and we don't like this word, you don't think of love like work. You need to work on it. That's all. And it was there when you first got married, but these things hop into the marriage once you get married, and they're part of it. It's just life. And so you have to fight them. And it's worth the effort. Okay, let's pray.